The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Today I want to preach on the topic, the passion of purpose. You know, the previous time we're looking at how to manage setbacks in the period of the pursuit of your purpose. And on that message, we focus on setbacks. And we ask, what were setbacks? And we said, they are normally events that bring delay in your progress. We say they are events that tend to reverse your progress that you have made. And we said, all men go through setbacks, whether successful or unsuccessful. Even God went through his period of setback at the beginning of creation, when he had created the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We went ahead to show that men like Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, even Jesus had all their setbacks. So that if you're having a setback, it shouldn't be too surprising. But there's an ability in you that the Bible says you have been given by which to overcome the world. And that is your faith. Today I want to focus on the subject of the passion of purpose. So we kickstart with a few definitions of purpose. Number one, purpose is the reason for which something is done or was created. So purpose is the specific reason. There may be general reasons, some may not be applicable, but purpose is the very specific reason for which a thing is done or for which a thing was created. There's a reason why God would like me to preach this message. There's a specific reason. Number two, purpose is the intent for which a thing was made. In other words, there was an intention in the mind of the designer. There was an intention in the mind of the creator. He didn't just arrive at that casually or haphazardly, but he intended something. He was looking out for an outcome, a specific outcome. That's why God created the world and he created us. Number three, purpose is the reason why something exists. Purpose is the reason why something exists. Why do mountains exist? Why do valleys exist? Why does water exist? Why does oxygen, carbon dioxide, why do they exist? Why does oil exist? Why do cars exist? So there is the why of what of a thing coming into existence. We may put it in another way, that purpose is the reason for which a thing is wired. There are buildings that are wired for industrial purposes. So their electricity is of high voltage and is different from the domestic consumption that comes to your house. Some buildings have water coming from the water company, and theirs is industrial, so it's giving at a certain rate. And then for us who use it locally, our rates are also different. So God made us, and each of us, he wired us uniquely to be able to do something in this life. The area in which you're going to prosper is dependent on how you have been wired. So when a building is wired for a particular purpose, you will notice that when you put on the switch, whatever it was wired for will begin to show. So if there are neon electric bulbs and if there are colorful bulbs, whatever it was wired for, if it was wired for computer, you can't put the plug of an electric iron into that place, because it is only the computer cable that must go into that place. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So turn to the next person and say, God wired you for a purpose. While I'm speaking to you, some people have been wired to be teachers. And some have more been specifically wired to teach toddlers and infants. Others have been wired to teach in the upper primary school, and some others have been wired to teach in the university, who may be called lecturers. Some have been wired to be carpenters, to be clothes designers, shoes designers. Some have been wired to be nurses, to be masons, to be carpenters, and some have been wired to be intercessors, and others have been wired to be musicians. Some have been wired with the gift of service, and those people are going to prosper based on how they serve people. Whenever they serve you, they serve with a certain grace, and when people get satisfied, they bless them with their mouths, and they may bless them also with something material. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So there's none of us here that is not wired. Each of us is wired for a particular purpose. But it is along the line that you follow Christ that you begin to also discover the fullness of the purpose for which you were wired. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I never knew I was wired to be a pastor. So in my mind, there was nothing about pastoral work before I gave my life to Christ. I thought I was a businessman. That businessman is still inside me. I didn't hear an amen. But the primary reason for which I was created was to be a preacher. And there was a specific area for which God had called me to preach. He had called me to be a teacher. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. And specifically, he had also called me to be a traveling teacher. And it took time to discover these things. And so everybody is wired, but as you serve, as you worship, as you fellowship, as you apply diligence and wisdom, you will get to the place where you begin to see that if you were wired as a caterer, you may be one of the best persons that will cook, and you will get a lot of contracts cooking for hundreds, 500s, thousands, 10,000s, and you have a whole staff under you. I'm prophesying to somebody. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Now, you would also notice that some people have been wired to be footballers. Some people have been wired to play hockey, others cricket, others basketball, others football, and some people have been wired to play soccer, which we do here most of the time. But you would realize that the career of a boxer is very short. Am I preaching the word? The career of a footballer is also very short. They start early, sometimes as early as 13, 14, and by 35, you find that they are entering into the twilight of their career. Their career is going down. So after the football, what do you do between ages 40 and 85? Somebody says, well, the footballer makes a lot of money in the course of the week, £80,000 a week, and then so he invests into hotels. After hotels, what do you do? So there are questions that we need to ask ourselves. Somebody is going to work till he or she achieves 60, and maybe compulsorily 65, they may ask you and I to go home. When you go home, what are you going to do? Are you going to be one of those people who gets up, wears a Joe singlet, you know what I'm talking about, a t-shirt with holes in it, sits under the tree, plays draft the whole day, and creates a bit of confusion in the house because the children are not bringing him or her money? There is life beyond that. And it is when you discover your purpose. Purpose is what you do till you give your last breath. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Purpose is what you do till you drop into the grave. So there are channels that may lead to our purpose. God does not want you to settle on the channels. Going to school is one of the channels. Studying formally or informally is one of the channels. But you're supposed to pass through, acquire some understanding and knowledge, build skill and capacity, so you go and deliver. Can I hear an amen? At the end of the day, whatever God calls you to do, that thing must have a positive impact on the lives of others. That thing must have a positive impact on society. It must be able to bring a change and transformation where you are. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? David originally was a shepherd boy. He could have said that God has called me to be a shepherd and I'll be at the backside of the desert. But that was a channel of training for him to arrive at where God had intended for him. So while he was faithfully catering for the sheep and fighting the bears and the lion, he was preparing to come and fight the Goliath that will come and face Israel under Saul's administration. So David was a worshiper initially. He would play the harp. David became a shepherd boy. That was another transition. And then David, after conquest of Saul, was made the army general in Saul's army. David could have ended there. You see, but in the army, you will still be retired. So there was a calling beyond being an army general. And that calling for David was the calling of kingship. The dream of God was to perpetuate and eternalize the throne of David and link it to Jesus so that that throne will become eternal. Oh, somebody should be clapping. So if David has settled on being a shepherd boy, he would not have fulfilled the specific and total purpose of God. If David has settled on being a harpist, a worshiper, David would not have fulfilled the purpose of God. And I need to communicate to those who are worshipers that beyond singing, God has called you to do something else. Can you put your hands together? I could have easily settled as a worshiper, but I had to seek the face of God. I'm still a worshiper and I'm proud of it. But beyond the worshiper, there is a calling. And most musicians sit and they don't progress. They don't find the depths of other things that God has for them to do. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are people, when you ask them, what do you want to do? I want to go to America. I want to go to Germany. As if Germany is the purpose. There are means to an end. And when you settle on the means, you never arrive at the ends. There are bridges that enable you cross a place. a water body, when you settle on the bridge, you will never get to the other side. God has not called you to settle on the bridge. He has called you to move ahead, to transition, and to enter into where he wants you to be. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Oh, shout a better amen to God's glory. There are some people who have not yet discovered their purpose. And for them, the purpose is that I'm looking for a man to marry. And I'm looking for a man to make babies with, so that I have 3, 4, 5, 7 children. And after the children, what next? After the children, what next? It's important to develop your career and then move into marriage. And think beyond marriage, that what should you be doing to touch lives in the kingdom of God? When I look at the war that is happening now in Ukraine, where they are being invaded and attacked by Russia, you will notice that in the surrounding countries, and some people even within Ukraine, where there's a lot of stress, trauma, and suffering, some people have situated themselves by reason of their giftings, by reason of how God has wired them to provide critical services for people so they don't die. That is what ministry is about. Somebody must be clapping to God's glory. So some are providing housing, mattresses and beds. Some are providing clothing. Some are providing food and water. And some others are even providing toys for children. Some are opening their homes to welcome strangers, families they didn't know, because they built a big house and the purpose for that big house was to show hospitality to others, to welcome others into the house. At the end of the day, whatever your purpose is, must touch a life. Jesus said, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. He said, I was sick and you didn't visit me. I was hungry and you didn't provide food for me. So you cannot have just your purpose put on 20 rings on your fingers and 17 necklaces or chains on your neck and just walk around, parade to be a cynosure to all eyes and everybody's seeing you. Even if you want to wear those things, I don't have problem with you. My question is, how many lives are you touching? Oh, come on, put your hands together. How many lives are you touching? Because at the end of the day, your purpose must touch people. So there are many different aspects of your calling. Many different aspects of your calling. One aspect of my calling is counseling. When I counsel people and they are successful, I'm excited. And I started doing that when I was a very young Christian. I would read the word, pray for most part of the day. And when it was like 3:30 p.m., I'll leave home to visit people who were part of the congregation where I was a member. And I'll stop by one or two per day to say, hello, how are you doing? And to ask if there were any issues. And that was all. And they say, yes, Brother Tete, we were looking for you. What does this mean? And what do you do when you are faced with this? Sometimes I'll just search through my spirit. If I don't have the answer, I'll tell them I'll come back the following day. And if I had the answer, I will share the answer on the spot. And then the more they got solutions, the more excited I became. From something that seemed ordinary, ordinary visitation between 3:30, 4 p.m. each day, that thing has grown and God has situated it on national television over the past 21 years. Can you put your hands together? Many people had gone on TV and preaching, and that's amazing. So some people don't even know I preach because they've seen me very calm, in a calm demeanor with a cool voice at 11 p.m. talking very coolly. And I remember I was going to preach in a church. And there was one, a deaconess in the church who was asked to pick me up from a spot. And when she picked me up and greeted me and said, "Oh, so for good morning," I responded, "Good morning." Then she told me, she said in her heart, "Ah, what kind of dull preacher is this that my pastor is bringing? Ah, prophet, you know that we need pastor she. Then you are bringing such a dull preacher to us." But when I got there and the grace of God fell upon me and we closed the service, she was the same person who said, "Hey, pastor, wait there, my ear bunny." Tell somebody, "My ear bunny, my ear bunny." So all I'm saying that if I'd gone on TV initially to preach, I may have missed it. But God wanted a certain service which was rare and which was not being provided to be provided for. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So God may call you into an avenue that you may even pioneer, which people are not engaged in and which people may not be doing. But the Lord may have called you and given you that area of business. I've been telling my wife and others around me that when they started that kind of noodle, what do you call it? The noodle in Ghana, that you, Indomie. I'm sure the person didn't think it would be so big. But imagine the population of Nigeria. If even a quarter of them use Indomie per day, and this person gets just a few kobos on the thing, in a week, the person will make a lot of money. So for that person, the person wants to come forth with this recipe and have it preserved and packaged and sent to the market. Then when the money comes, what does the person do with the money? We are not talking about purpose. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So you can't just be having money. I have money in the bank account. I'm saving this. And I have thousands of pounds sterling and euros and so on and so forth. And you are not touching lives really. You have. Unless the church calls for donation, you won't donate. And some people even will walk out and go and stand outside when there's a call for that. I have a problem with your purpose. If that money gets finished, you'll be in trouble. Have you not read that monies can take wings and fly away? So tell the next person, you must touch life. You must touch a life. So number one, definition of purpose, the reason or specific reason for which something is done or was created. Number two, the intent for which a thing was made. Number three, purpose is why a thing exists. And we're saying it is the reason why a thing is wired to operate the way it operates. There are some people whom God has wired with a taste of current affairs. They don't want to be told by another person the news. They want to get the source of the news. There are also people who have been wired to read history. And if you went to them, they will remember all the history of Mansa Musa, Sonny Ali Kolon, Sundiata, Marijata. They will go to Eastern Africa and talk about Moses Chilambwe and all kinds of history. Mau Mau. They are just passionate about that because God has created them. So what's the next definition for purpose? The fifth one is God's script for your life. Purpose is God's script for your life. A script tells the characters, and the same script tells the role that the characters must play. We are all on a stage, and we are all acting, and each of us has been assigned a particular role to play. There are some who are playing major roles. We call them in a local setting, blue man, even if he doesn't punch anybody. He's the film star. Then there are others who play minor roles, but all goes to bring out a great film or a great acting on stage. Each of us have a character assigned to us, and because of that, there is a role that we must play. This is in the mind of God. Now let me define purpose further. Let's define purpose further. There's a French word for purpose. It is purpose. If I'm not pronouncing it well, let the French correct me. P-O-R-P-O-S. How do you pronounce that? Is it purpose or purpose? P-O-R-P-O-S. Let's say it's purpose. So that French word means to plan. Then in the Latin, there's proponere, P-R-O-P-O-N-E-R-E, P-R-O-P-O. N-E-R-E. The Latin proponere means to propose. So putting the two together, purpose in the French means to plan. So it talks about a plan of God for your life. There are plans that God has for your life which are bigger than what you have for yourself. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I will take you to the first scripture, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. The word devices is interpreted in other versions as plans or thoughts or different kinds of motives. So there are many devices or plans or thoughts or different kinds of motives in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. There are many plans. You hear people say, oh, I want to own a coal store. It's not bad. Another person says, I want to be a transport dealer. Another person says, I want to own a company that mines gold. And they are fine. But the question that you eventually link it up to is, which aspect of the purpose of God does it form for you? So the Bible says there are many devices, there are many plans in a man's heart. However, it is the purpose of God that shall stand. So man has his plan, lower level, God has his plan. Your plans must harmonize with God's plans. Can I hear an amen? Your plans must align with God's plans. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. But for somebody who is born again and being renewed daily by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, you get to a place where you embrace the mind of God through the scriptures and through the Spirit of God. So the Latin meaning of the word is to propose. So before you came to this world, God had already proposed what you should be. For some of you, he said, you're going to be great traders, and in your time, there will be no much. For some of you, he said that you're going to be business tycoons. You start from your bedroom, and very soon it will go to the roadside and into a shop, and then you have branches all over, and you have branches in the major cities in the world. Somebody is not saying amen. For some people, God has said that you will own an educational institution. You'll be an educationist. You'll be training people. And out of you, many people will be educated. And you're going to add Christian education as your service to humanity and to the kingdom of God. Oh, somebody must be clapping. So God has already proposed what it should be. I struggled with it. But I finally realized that this was the area that God wanted me to function in. And when I yielded, I realized that it resonates with my life. So you will find me preaching till Jesus comes. You will find me preaching till my last breath. Oh, come on, put your hands together, somebody. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And in other words, I'm really doomed. That's what Paul is saying. Now let's move on. So we have defined as step one what purpose is. And we've seen multiple meanings. Now the step two in this message, what are some of the benefits that purpose brings? Number one, purpose gives you passion. Purpose gives you a drive. In Romans 12:11, he said, be not slothful, but fervent in spirit, and on and on. In other words, don't be slothful in business. Don't be lazy in business. But rather be fervent. The word fervent, that be passionate. It's talking about passion with intensity. And it's talking about something that is real, red hot, and burning. So God is saying that, look, if you are my child and you are serving me, don't be slack, don't be lazy, don't be slow. Let a drive of God move you from bed to the house of God. Let a drive of God move you to pick the Bible and read. Let a drive of God make you wake up in the dead of the night like David, who says, 7 times will I praise you. He said, at midnight, when everybody else is asleep, I will rise and give praises to you. He said, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. I will sing praises to your name. The guy was passionate. If you give him any opportunity, he will talk about the greatness of God. He will talk about the goodness of God. He will talk about the mercies of God. And he will talk about the art of music and spiritual warfare. Tell the next person, be passionate. Be passionate. Don't be dull. No. So purpose will give you a drive. And anyone who hasn't got a drive in life is likely to face serious challenges. Something must be propelling you, make you feel you are behind and you can catch up, and the grace of God will give you the overtaker's anointing. So get up and be passionate. Number two, passion will give you ambition. What does ambition mean? Ambition means a strong desire to achieve or become successful. Ambition means a strong desire, not ordinary desire. Strong desire. Strong desire to achieve. Strong desire to overcome. Strong desire to break the curses. Strong desire to break that evil cycle surrounding your family. Strong desire, like the desire of Jabez, who was named and called a child of pain and a child of sorrow, and he took the matter up directly before God, not even his pastor. He prayed about it until God heard him, and God touched his destiny. In other words, for Jabez, his destiny had been distorted by the name he had been given. But you see, the original destiny that God had for him was still there. It was when he reconnected to God that his destiny was refreshed. Can I say something to you? Your destiny was determined before you were born. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Can I hear a better amen? Rahab had a destiny of becoming a great woman, but she was messing up as a prostitute. So there may be slave queens who are exposing themselves on social media and acting as if their bodies is what will bring the wealth, and they will smile and they'll do this and that, but it's a distorted destiny. It's a distorted destiny, and a child of God must not copy that. Find your destiny. God will refresh it for you. Come on. Your destiny is already there. It's already there. Them that he did foreknow, Romans chapter 8, he also did predestinate. So you were giving a destiny before you were even conceived in the womb of your mother. How do I know? God told Jeremiah, before you were conceived in the womb of your mother, I had sanctified and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Assuming Jeremiah decided to sell stamps and remain at the post office for the rest of his life, he would have missed it. He could have started life with selling stamps as training for administrative understanding and to earn something in the short run. But Jeremiah was to transition eventually into his office as a prophet, not just speaking to his small community, but Jeremiah will speak into the nations. When he speaks, the Holy Ghost carries it into the nation. May God give you a voice that will go into the nations. Oh, come on, shout amen to God's glory. I read some books years back, and some of those books describe ambition as evil. Ambition is not evil. Listen to me. A knife is not evil. It is in whose hands it is found. Having a strong desire to succeed is not evil. The direction of your ambition is important. Satan misdirected his ambition and said he wanted to be like God and beyond God, and I'll ascend the throne and I'll do this. He said five I wills that brought him down. But the same Bible says, he that desires for the office of a bishop has desired for a good thing. In other words, God does not expect you to be a pew warmer from childhood. You are just warming pew. No, he wants you to desire to be a minister. Some may preach, others may be intercessors, others may be counselors, others may be administrators in the house of God, but you are a minister. Oh, come on, shout amen. I never heard Anna the prophetess preaching, but she was in the temple praying for Jesus when he was a child. I'm sure they started praying before he was born that God would secure his life and the future until Christ was brought to Anna and Simon. And Simon said, now my eyes have beheld the consolation of Israel. I'm ready to go. In other words, for Simon, his purpose for coming was to pray for the Messiah. Can you imagine that? So number one, purpose will give you passion. Number two, it will give you ambition. You see, when ambition is misdirected, then it becomes greed. The president of Russia, his ambitions are not right. He just moves and attacks one country because of his personal insecurities. A country say they want to join NATO. You see, if they join NATO, they will bring American equipment into that country and they will spy your country, so you are not happy, and then you go and attack them. Number three, purpose will give you a desire for living. Apostle Paul said, I came to a place where I wanted to depart from this body. But I realized that to stay and minister to you guys was more needful. So I chose to stay. There are people who have given up already. They gave up from their mother's womb. They gave up when they were children. They gave up while they were growing. And then some little event occurred. Ah! Confirmation of giving up. So they've resigned. They are not doing anything. I told you I read about that man who became a millionaire. He developed, at 69, he developed what we call a wall walkie. Something sticky. They do it in the form of spiders and other creatures and very sticky material like rubber. You throw it on the wall, it sticks, releases itself, sticks again about three or four times before it drops to the ground. And the man became a millionaire at 69. And you say you are finished life. No. You are now starting life. Tell the next person, we are now starting life. All of us are now starting life. The Bible says the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And I believe that you will end well. You will end in the grand star. You will defy the laws of gravity. You will defy the curses in your background. You will defy every setback. You will rise to the occasion, and the glory of God shall be evident and manifest in your life. Let your amen be bigger than all the others. I'm waiting for the first millionaire at 70 in this place. As for the younger ones, they will be millionaires. Oh, come on, shout amen and put your hands together. So one, passion. So purpose gives you passion. Two, ambition. Three, desire for living. Number four, purpose gives you aspiration. What is aspiration? Desire to climb the social ladder. Desire to become better. Desire to become what God wants you to become. When I was doing my undergraduate studies, before we graduated, we went to do a research, and I chose aspirations of urban school children, and I focus on the primary school as opposed on rural school children. So the urban school, I chose the Legon community, and the rural school, I chose Pram Pram. So I was looking at their aspirations. What does your father do? Which environment do you live in? And how has it helped to shape what you want to be tomorrow? Those were the things I was looking for. At Legon, the children, primary school children, one's father was a lab technician. He said he wanted to be a lab technician. Another person said he wanted to be a pilot. Another a lecturer. Another an engineer. And different aspects. Then I went to Pram Pram. The first person I interviewed said he wanted to be a driver's mate. He liked the way they hung behind the vehicle and they, The second said he wanted to be a fisherman. Nothing wrong. There are some wealthy fishermen if you travel the world over. But the kind of perception he had about being a fisher person was low. Another person said he wanted to be the driver of a commercial transport. He wrote Trotro. Fine. So, what they wrote was basically their environment. That is why church must establish a proper biblical environment. And give opportunity for people to aspire highly and not settle for something low which will not cater for you in your latter stages. If you are studying and you have done a diploma, go for a degree. If you have done the first degree, move to the second degree. If you've done the second degree and can do another degree, whether in the same master's or PhD, move into it. Look for a job, but pray for a better job. Start your business, but pray for it to grow. Don't start on tabletop and end on tabletop. Aspire to be higher. Plug yourself into the network of distribution in the city and serve people by courier. Even if you are selling tomatoes or fish in the market, deliver. Oh, come on, put your hands together. You know why the young folks, the young boys, even now the girls want to be footballers, play soccer? It is because of the flashy cars that the top professional footballers who are Ghanaians are exhibiting. It is because of the huge houses. And it's because they can walk into any top hotel and with their credit card they can just pay for things and move in. It's because of their appearance and how they are being interviewed. And I heard one footballer of the Ghana Black Stars parked somewhere and people just came at him and he had to disappear from the place. Ask the next person gently, what are your aspirations? You are a young man, and you say you have written the O levels twice, the A levels twice, and you are fed up. You have written WASI 3 times, and you say you are fed up. Go and write again. Aspire higher than SS. Come on. In our time, there were just 3 public universities. But now, there are more than 120 private universities. I interviewed someone recently, And he says he doesn't understand the people that keep complaining that their parents did not take them to school, and that some auntie, uncle, or mother-in-law mistreated them. Then he said, these things happened before you were 30. So from 30 to maybe 85, when God will call you, what are you doing? What are you doing to better your life? What are you doing from 30 to 85? You can easily be a lawyer. Oh, come on, put your hands together. So, purpose gives you aspiration. And we want you to aspire highly. Aspire to be excellent. Aspire to speak God better than you do. Aspire to speak the English language better than you now do. Some of you have iPads, but you don't Google to search meanings. You don't Google to listen to pronunciations. You just carry the iPad. You have phones that can take you on the network, but you are not Googling to understand things. Each week passes, and you're only sending pictures. You buy one attire, you take a picture by the seashore, you send it to the rest of the world. Your aspirations must be high. Say amen to that. Number five, purpose will give you zeal and enthusiasm. When we talk about zeal, we are talking about high energy. We are talking about high interest. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Be highly enthusiastic about the things of God. Have you prayed? Pastor, I can't pray. And it's been the same story all around. Number six. Passion gives you an enterprising purpose, rather, I'm sorry, gives you an enterprising spirit. In other words, you become an enterprising person. Who is an enterprising person? Is the one who wishes to rise above the current circumstances or situation. If you don't wish to rise above where you are not enterprising. People who are enterprising will show two things. Number one, they have initiative. They are self-starters. They will get up and go and pick a form, complete it, and go and deposit it with the institution. They will float their CV about. They may register a company and desire to start something, although they have nothing. They show initiative. Number two, they also show resourcefulness. And I've cited this example and I'll cite it again. I read about the man that wanted to be hired to work in a restaurant. When he went there, they were asking for his specific skills. Are you a top chef? Are you so and so? He didn't have it. So they said they would not employ him. Then he negotiated with the manager of the place that he's willing to offer his services free of charge for some time. Then this guy went in to work for 1 month. He wasn't paid. Then he continued for the second month. Then the people were pleased with him and gave him the job. Initially, there was no job,
But they gave him the job. He took an initiative. Then this guy started working hard in that place. Within a space of about 8 months, he had risen to the level of a manager and had replaced the manager who had gone away. He went to meet others there, but he worked so hard through initiative and resourcefulness that he had gotten there. Within 5 years, he owned that restaurant. May that be the kind of story that you tell. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hand. He came from a poor background. He hadn't got much education. He had nothing. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But he had such an enterprising spirit that he could not be told there was no job. Find something to do and sharpen your skills even while you don't have a job. So what I gave you was number what? Number six, enterprising spirit. Let me give you the last one, but this is by no means the very last. Number seven is determination. Purpose will give you determination. What is determination? It is a fixed intention for doing something. Determination is a fixed intention. This guy that went to work in the restaurant was determined to get a job. You must be determined to stay in the faith and not backslide. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You must be determined to continue in the things you started. Be determined to continue prayer. You may be disappointed. You may have been jilted. You may have lost a fortune. But fix it in your mind. The Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Set your face like a hard stone. Decide I will rise to the top by the grace of God. Decide I will be wealthy. Decide that God will bless me. Decide I will be a blessing to others. Be determined that you will not be dissuaded by little setbacks. You will not be discouraged because you invested in a business and things didn't turn out well. The righteous falls 7 times, but his determination makes him pick himself again and move on. Can I hear an amen? The moment you stop, you have graduated. And when you graduate, your blessings will graduate. Be determined. Be determined not to stay at the lower levels. Be determined to be at a higher level. Be determined to walk in your calling. Apostle Paul will be beating in one city, but the next city, he gets up, brushes himself, and then he goes on preaching. The man was determined. Agabus prophesied to him that the man that goes to Jerusalem, this is how he'll be treated and tied. And he took Paul's belt and tied himself and began to prophesy. Paul said, I will go for the sake of the kingdom of God. He went there. Your face must be set like a flint. Your decision to remain in the church must be uncompromising. There are valley periods, but there are mountaintop experiences. May those bring you excitement. May the mountaintop experiences bring you joy. At age 12, Luke chapter 4 from verse 41 to 45. Luke chapter 2, 41 to 45. By age 12, Jesus was affirming his mission on earth. He had picked what God had for him, and by 12 he was affirming it. They went to Jerusalem as they normally did annually, and when his parents had gone to worship after the period, he went to sit before the learned, you know, rabbis and priests, and was asking them questions out of the word. And the parents went around for 2 days looking for him. They thought Jesus was missing. How can Jesus be missing? Then they came back and found him in the church, the temple. And they asked, why have you done this to us? And he said, didn't you know I must be about my father's business? In other words, one part of parenting is to help your ward discover the purpose for which God made he or her. Can I have an amen? Can you put your hands together? Oh, can you put your hands together, somebody? You are not going to force your child to do the course you want, but you're going to assist your child to discover the purpose that God has given to him or her. Can I hear an amen? If you know you are going to be a king, there's a way you cut your hair. Oh, let me. If you know you are going to be a king or a queen, there's a way you keep your trousers up. Your trousers doesn't hang low on the Tropic of Cancer behind you. If you know you are going to be the next president, you look at the presidents. Their haircut is regular. Except Boris Johnson. He didn't hear his name. But that's his hairstyle. And young man, look at your haircut and see if you are preparing to be a president. You copy anything in the market, whether good or bad. Today, Pastor is preaching about haircuts. Yes, I'm training people to be top professionals. I'm not saying that your hair will not take you to heaven, but it can limit you in the affairs of men. Because man looketh on the outward, only God looks on the inside. I'm not condemning you for having a nice line here. It's nice. But that kind of hair that, especially the young men, as if you are not getting any training. That's why God didn't give me a son. Because he knows I cannot stand that thing. Give me ladies. They can handle their hair the way they want. Thank you, Father, for not giving me a son. By age 30, Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Have I exceeded an hour? By age 30, Luke chapter 3, verse 23, Jesus had started his ministry. He had visited the baptism of John. John had been prophesying that although I baptize you with water, there cometh a greater one who will baptize you with the fire and with the Holy Ghost, whose shoe latchet I'm unable to untie. I suggest to you that your ministry must start early. We were told that by 30, start your ministry. God can call somebody at 45, at even 60 is okay. But if you are hearing me, your ministry must start early. If it hasn't started and it's 30, submit yourself and learn quickly. That your ministry will start. Can I speak to the younger ones who are 24, 25? Your marriage must start early. Oh, come on, come on. Your marriage must start like Jesus' ministry started at age 30. Because after 30, most of your classmates would have gotten married. And that fish pond from which you look for a wife or husband becomes thinner and thinner. please tell the next person, whether the person is old or small, your ministry must start at 30. Your ministry must start. It becomes more difficult when you get money before you start looking for a wife. Are you telling me that these lovely people, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you have this church, that charismatic church, so and so dominion church, so and so power church, so and so, you mean you cannot see anything? You mean you can't see anything? I'm talking to the young men. When a young man is 31 and I have conversation, I says, when are you planning to? Oh, I'm not thinking about marriage. Then I see you are very unscriptural, unbiblical. I wish I could ask the unmarried young women to get up and ask some of the young men to go and choose. Mr. Cameraman, where you are standing, you are not supposed to laugh. You are supposed to just cover the matter. But God has not made me a matchmaker. He's the best person that pairs. So when you start seeking your purpose early, then you add it to the thing. But can I prophesy to you? Your marriage is not late yet. Whether you are 30, whether you are 40, whether you are 50, whether you are 60, even if you are 70, David married at that late age. And it was a woman who came to warm him. Oh, come on. You can marry at 70. You can marry at 80. And have a companion and kill loneliness. Two heads are better than one. You can't have more wisdom than God. Marriage is good and honorable. Let's clap in faith. Hold on. In this clap, we are releasing partners for those who desire to get married within this period. Let's shout. Let's put our hands together. We are releasing the right partners, the divinely ordained partners by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Your life will be better with a wife. Your life will be better with the right person. Abraham had his firstborn at 99. There's no evil about it. God extended his life. May God extend your life. In Jesus' name. I rest my case for today.